You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
Hey, hey, welcome to HR Bandit. I've been saying it for a few months now, but this time it is finally true. We are officially at the end of the year. Where has 2021 gone? And can we please just call it 2020 part two instead? Now, I can complain and moan about how the year has gone by and how we have yet another mutation come arrive in 2022. However, let's not forget the pod was released this year. So if that's not reason to celebrate, I don't know what is. I am so glad to have you on this journey with me. Having said that, let me introduce you to our top two topics for today. First up, Metaverse. Now, this is the reason we scratched out topic number two, because we wanted to give you the lowdown on everything about Metaverse right here. What it is, why did Facebook think it's important enough to change their name? What role will this play in the future of work? For our second and last story of the year, yes, it is our last episode for 2021. I will be back next year with, we have big plans, but our last story for this year is goal setting. Now, I know every single goal I set for 2021, except one, and you can guess which one, went down the trash tube. Now, does goal setting make sense, especially in times as turbulent as this? Can we even say what we're going to do in a complete year ahead? Well, I have with us the guest for today, but before I introduce her, all the links to everything we talk about today will be in the show notes below, and including links on social media where you can get on and have a conversation with us. With that, our guest for today, I am so pleased to introduce you to Ananya Sabharwal. I have known and met her multiple times over the past 2 decades, but I never imagined she'd be on the pod here with me. She is the Country HR Director for Unilever Sri Lanka. She has been in HR for about 12 years and has worked across Mumbai, New York, London, Amsterdam, Singapore, and now Colombo. And I'm sure this is not the last of it. Ananya, welcome to the show. And how is Sri Lanka treating you?
Thanks so much, Ankita, for having me on this very trend-setting podcast. I am really stoked to be here today. It's been a month now in Colombo since my husband Aaron and I landed, and we're absolutely loving it. It's super clean, non-polluted. Everybody mostly follows the rules, and people are really affectionate, and it's generally a very calm vibe here. I think the only issue is that the spicy food here needs some getting used to. It's even more spicy than India. And I'm just learning a lot after, you know, having lived in the hustle bustle of New York, to the properness of London, to the very practical life in Amsterdam. I'm quite excited to now experience the warmth and hospitality of Sri Lanka. So, and it's also been really interesting to be at work in the office after 15 months of doing this job remotely. And it's actually quite nice to be living the hybrid ways of working, which has best of both the worlds, the social connection with colleagues, and also the comfort of being in my pajamas at home.
Tell me this, are you actually going into the office?
Yeah, so Unilever globally, basically we decided that we'd spend 40% of our time in the office, which means a couple of days a week. So yes, I am, all of us are going to office about 2-3 days a week.
That is exciting. That is something I've missed for a very long time. I actually do pop into the office. I think I've said it on the pod before. I do pop into the office a couple of times a week, sometimes not at all, but I do really miss everyone else being around. So like going to the office by myself doesn't have the same pull. But I have to ask, I know the last time we met was in 2019 when I was at Amsterdam. And I distinctly recall you and I having this conversation where I said, I want to move to Europe. I'm thinking about moving to a different country. And look, fast forward to today, you and I have both moved. And in a turbulent time, right? I'm very curious, like back then you were a big advocate of moving to a different geography, experiencing what it's like. What advice would you give to someone who's looking to move, especially now, because things have changed back from when we had the discussion in 2019?
Well, my answer has not changed. I absolutely have loved my global career and highly recommend it to anybody wanting to live a very full life. If anything, COVID has made us realize how short life is. And so my mantra is to gather as many experiences as possible. And, you know, when I think about living and working in different countries and cultures, for me, I think it really boils down to two things, inclusion and adventure. My biggest learning of working across cultures has been the ability to include new cultures in my way of life and at the same time, the ability to get myself included in their way of life without losing my authenticity and unique voice. And you know what I'm saying may sound a bit spiritual, but my speed of settling down in a new country and culture has been directly proportional to my ability to detach from a particular identity of either being an Indian or being an army officer's daughter. The more I have moved around the world, the more I have realized that we are humans first, and there are many more similarities than differences. So that's the point. I think that's the big reflection on inclusion. And the second big learning or driver for me wanting to continue to do this is adventure. There is just so much newness and so many challenges when you move. I'm sure you experience this yourself, Ankita. You know, when you move to a new country, the food, the people, the clothes, the weather. And it all kind of boils down to our own spirit of adventure in making it a learning experience. For example, when I was in New York, you know, the Americans really taught me what it means to communicate with impact. And my communication skills really improved after my 3 years in New York. And simultaneously, I also struggled with how dressed up women were at work. Going to London, I was always left guessing what someone really meant when they said something. And at the same time, I learned so much about courtesy, punctuality. Moving to Amsterdam, I felt so much at home with their refreshing, practical honesty. And I genuinely learned so much about how to integrate sustainability into my daily life. So, yeah, I think it boils down to inclusion and adventure. And I would, if given a chance, I would just keep doing this forever and ever.
I love that. And I absolutely agree. I have been personally challenged at every moment, especially the first few months, where there's so many things you take for granted. Like even I never thought I'd have to walk down the aisle trying to figure out which toothpaste works better than the other, which detergent should I be using, and it's just a whole new life. So yeah, I think I would recommend moving just like you do. But with that, because that was just the opening, we're gonna jump into our two topics today, and I'm really, really excited about our first one. I think this is our best one till date. Metaverse. Okay. So now Metaverse and most recently Meta has been dominating news for a while now. I know it's probably died down a little bit over the past week, but it's still very much there. Now, I had my first introduction to Metaverse or the term in July when during Facebook's quarterly report, Mark Zuckerberg had, I think a few days before it came out, they had an interview where he spoke about how he wants to move the direction of the company from being like social media focused to being a metaverse organization. And that's when I was like, what is metaverse? Well, it's not new. It was first mentioned in a sci-fi novel back in 1922. I'm guessing a lot of people listening to this have seen or heard about Ready Player One. It's a two-hour long movie. So if you want to know what metaverse is, maybe just go take a look at it. But all of us have been introduced to metaverse in some form or the other. I know back in 2003, there was a game called Second Life that was launched. So I tried making an avatar, but I just thought it was too much of an effort to live a second life. But I'm going to try and attempt to explain what metaverse is and then focus in on the impact on workspace, because Mark Zuckerberg in August then went ahead and launched Horizon Workspace before changing the name to Meta on 28th October. So here's my attempt of defining metaverse in a single line. It was borrowed from an NVIDIA blog post. It says, metaverse is a shared virtual 3D or worlds that are interactive, immersive, and collaborative. Just as the physical universe is a collection of worlds that are connected in space, the metaverse can be thought of a bunch of worlds too. Now, I would highly encourage you to go and take a look at Mark Zuckerberg's video. There exists 11-minute clip on him talking about what metaverse is and why it is important. But before I tell you about Workspace Tech and Horizon Workrooms, Ananya, have you interacted with metaverse in the past in any form at all?
Well, the only time that I've interacted with metaverse is my brief tryst with virtual reality while playing video games and going to those 4D experience movie theaters. I think most recently, I have to say, when you told me you'd be talking about this, my husband was much more excited than me, given that he runs a young tech startup. And last weekend when we were house hunting in Colombo, this was what we ended up talking about all day. And before I get into my detailed thoughts on this topic, I hate to burst the bubble, but I'm in the camp of nothing can replace the human connections that we make in the real physical world. And I think it'll be quite a while before the metaverse impacts work, workplaces, and all of us. Having said that, I think virtual reality and the metaverse hold immense potential for the future. So let me share some of what I learned over the past few weeks and ever since my husband got obsessed with metaverse and stuff like this. So metaverse is the newest corporate buzzword, and there is much to learn about it every day. I found something really interesting. Do you know the most popular word of the year in 2021? Take a guess.
Virtual?
I'll give you another guess.
Oh my God, I don't get like being wrong. Communication. Collaboration.
You were close with virtual. So I learned that according to Collins Dictionary, it is NFT, which is basically short for non-fungible token. NFTs are basically those unique digital certificates that claim that you own something digital on the metaverse. And the use of this abbreviation was the most popular word in 2021. I think it increased by some 11,000% or something like that. So
guessed that.
Yeah, me neither. When I read it, I was shocked. So we see some fashion powerhouses such as Gucci, Louis Vuitton, and, you know, they are no longer exposing their collections in Milan or Paris, but on Decentraland, which I'm sure you would have read in your research that it's basically a virtual world operating on the metaverse, and celebrities such as Paris Hilton are no longer performing at Tomorrowland, but on virtual music festivals, and NBA players are tokenizing their fandom by issuing NFTs for their fans. And even companies like Microsoft, very inspiring, are already building their own metaverse capabilities. And actually, the hottest investment theme on Wall Street right now is the metaverse. And I get to hear an earful about it from my husband. So metaverse clearly has all the signs of becoming the next giant leap in human evolution. And so I'm just thinking, what does this really mean for the context of work? Do I think it will convert to, you know, work will convert to a virtual playroom anytime soon, which is the only kind of metaverse or virtual reality I've experienced so far? You know, given that the world went through almost 30 years of change in just 3 months with the onset of COVID, the pandemic has only accelerated the pace of technological advancement and things like the metaverse. So I do see the metaverse integrating the future of work as one of the big mega trends of the next decade. And I think when I was thinking what I would share with you, I think I would really divide the impact of metaverse on future work into three kind of areas. The evolution of the workplace of the future, the evolution of jobs of the future, and the evolution of the humans of the future. And I think that's what maybe we could talk more about.
The part you said about, you know, humans of the future, workplace of the future, and so on, is a great transition to how Facebook is thinking. And the part which I'm really excited to talk about, which is the Horizon Workrooms. Now, they launched this in August. And if you look, they have an entire page on it, and that is linked in the show notes below. They have a video where they actually try and show you what a metaverse or a virtual workplace would look like. And I think it is extremely interesting because one of the key points of the investment of metaverse is that right now, your quality of life is very dependent on where you are physically located in the world, right? Whereas the metaverse gives you the opportunity to equalize the quality of life, at least in whatever way it can. And when they look at the workrooms, it is really fascinating. They're literally selling a concept of future, which if it actually happens, I think is a good place, because what we are missing right now and what they're actually leveraging is being in the same room, right? I've been missing the human connection. I miss meeting people. And if we've tried chats, we've tried video calls, we've even tried holograms, and then metaverse is like this giant leap into the future. And workplace tech has always been a ripe space for communication, especially now, right? We've seen when it came to chats, we had Slack and Teams do like a very, you know, use that space for innovation. When it came to video calls, Zoom and Google Meet was all over the place. And then we have, I think, WeWork, who was trying to do holograms. So it's definitely a place where there is a lot of scope for innovation. And that's where I think you have, you know, Horizon Workrooms enter, where you can actually create an avatar. So you can be whoever you want, right? In there. So I can experiment with my gender, my hair color, or whatever that I wish to. If you see the video, there's also a robot in there. So a person that actually decided he doesn't want to be human anymore at all. So you create an avatar, you put on their headset, and then you're all in the same conference room. And what's amazing about this is that you can also take your desk with you. So I can take my screen with me, my laptop, and then, you know, all the peripherals, and I can customize it. Now, if you look at the history of innovation, and back when the internet was a craze, it was too expensive for the common person to do it. So organizations went first, the prices dropped, then it became available to everyone, personal computers. Mobile phones, you again had these pagers and Blackberries and everything that first came to the workplace, prices dropped, individuals adopted. Metaverse is now the trend, but the prices are still, they are high enough. So a 300 euro may mean nothing for an organization to invest per employee, but if I was to go ahead and purchase it for myself and then all the peripherals, I would be a little hesitant. So we probably see the same trend. Organizations adopt, prices drop, it goes to anyone. So I understand why Facebook has pivoted to make this their biggest bet. But Ananya, I know you had more to say about what happens to our workspace with metaverse. So I'll let you go.
Yeah, I think I really relate to what you said. You know, for me, the biggest link to our current reality is through the hybrid ways of working. We know the workplace of the future lies in hybrid ways of working because we've all now realized the lovely benefits of working from home, and at the same time have been craving that social connection, which you also mentioned. So, you know, many studies have shown that working from home leads to almost 80% increase in productivity, equally, there are studies to show that people have struggled during COVID because of the lack of that human connection. And it has felt very one-dimensional behind the screen, engaging with the rest of the world for many, many months with just the screen. And most of us have heard about Zoom fatigue, which is this frustration around the audio, video quality. And studies have even shown that switching on videos during Zoom and Teams calls increased burnout and fatigue. So on the other hand, whilst working from office and meeting people leads to better and stronger collaboration, Let's not forget that working from office involves a very long commute time and that takes both time and energy of people. For example, I was reading that I think on an average, working people, one in three people spend 15 hours a day commuting to and from office. I'm forgetting which region it was in, but it was a really bizarre fact around the amount of time we waste in commuting. So, and also not forgetting the difficulty in managing caregiving responsibilities, either, you know, as a parent or if you have parents that you need to take care of. So when you need to be, you know, physically present at work when you have stuff that you need to do at home, you know, there are some real benefits of being at home and also being at the office. And that's where I think the hybrid paradox comes in, where people say they want flexibility to work from anywhere whilst they also want human connection. So Metaverse really enables, I think it can really enable that presence and intimacy in the virtual world. It could also create, you know, the virtual 3D workspaces that you were mentioning, and where you could build your own office, meeting room, your own 3D cubicle, your own avatar, and then how you interact with each other, how you, you know, can just bend over and say something to someone in a meeting room without having to type it out. You could have conferences. So it really takes virtual collaboration to the next level and allows people to interact as close to how they feel in the real world. And it could be really rich and immersive. And the idea is, I think the idea is for people to feel even better than they would feel in the real world, though I don't think that's possible. But it really eliminates the need to physically dress up, something that I actually dislike. I really don't like dressing up and, you know, commuting and wasting all that time. So it really eliminates the need for all of that and still allows us to benefit from that feeling of, you know, meeting people. So I think it'll allow us to dive into the tiniest nitty-gritties that could be worrisome in the physical world, but are quite easy in the virtual world. It'll also allow us to see what is on other people's screens or phones, which they select to share. We need not worry about screen sharing and pressing this button and letting others accidentally read your messages. So it'll really eliminate a lot of the awkwardness in the Zoom or the Teams world. And, you know, I was another fun thing that I came to know recently was that Accenture is a great example of integrating Metaverse, beginning to integrate Metaverse into their workplace. They are building what they describe as the nth floor in the alt space, where literally anybody across Accenture globally can anytime drop in on the nth floor and meet other Accenture employees from anywhere in the world. So how cool is that? And I think things like... Yeah, really cool, right? And I think things like the nth floor could really bring that perfect balance between, you know, the hybrid balance that we've been talking about, between the V time, which is the collaboration time, and the me time, which is the focus time that I get when I'm working from home. Mm.
Let's talk about maybe why Facebook changed its name. And I think that's also pivotal to determining whether we will, it's a speculation, but it's also a big factor in determining whether organizations will actually adopt Metaverse. And that is security and privacy concerns. Now, we all know Facebook isn't famous for, or it has a reputation, and maybe by changing its name, it's distracting. But to let one organization have so much control, because if they want, like, not every organization can build Metaverse capabilities. And if they were to purchase, that organization could now have information on everything before you actually release to the market. So they'll have access to your ideas, to your virtual whiteboards, to every single conversation, to all employee details, what employee preferences. And while Facebook has said that they would not use this information for any of their advertising, but it's still a concern. So how big a role do you think privacy and security plays? Because for me, I think that is the biggest detractor at this point of time.
Yeah, well, I think this is a very controversial topic, and people have very polarized views on this. I think the need for privacy will only go up. And I think the amazing laws that we have in many countries in the West, especially Europe, are going to be needed in many other parts of the world. Sri Lanka is already talking about very stringent data privacy laws. So, yeah, I don't think I have much more to say other than this is going to increase the scrutiny on companies like Facebook or Meta. There will be governments holding Meta accountable for what they do with our data.
Do you see other detractors that could possibly slow down the emergence of metaverse?
Well, I think one of the things you mentioned was cost, right? I mean, it's this whole businesses and corporates adopting it versus the individual. So when it's a B2B arrangement, I think that could go very smoothly. But if we think of B2C, that's when I feel like it's too far away a reality. So I think that is cost and accessibility will be one of the biggest challenges that I foresee. I think another one that is probably people like me who, you know, I'm more into, like I'm really into Ayurveda and how we use our five senses and, you know, how you need to touch your hands and touch mud and walk barefoot on the grass, etc. And how that really enables health. People like me who are on this kind of bandwagon of more natural living and going back in time and being closer to Mother Earth. I think it does eventually conflict with health. I mean, even if you look at it very superficially, you know, wearing any kind of contraption like goggles or, you know, whatever you're wearing around your head to be in the metaverse, it actually leads to motion sickness. So I don't know whether you've experienced this when you've gone to watch those 4D movies, but I feel quite dizzy and almost feel motion sick and nauseous. So even from a superficial perspective, I think it does conflict with health and how this human body is actually meant to function. We as human beings are not meant to be so intimate with technology. And so I think that I would say is the third biggest detractor. So I think privacy, cost, and health.
I love that. And maybe 50 years from now, human beings will evolve to be one with technology. But until now, I think we're far from there.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.
With that, I know we've spent a lot of time on metaverse, and I hope this was useful for all our listeners to form their own opinion on what it is and whether they will jump on the bandwagon. I'm going to switch to goal setting. And this is very close to my heart because this is the time of the year where I spend an inordinate amount of time looking back on what I've personally achieved. But I know as organizations, we spend a lot of time doing retrospectives and then looking at the year ahead and trying to figure out what that should look like. Now, I think a lot of organizations have realized that the whole concept of yearly goal planning has basically gone out the door the past 2 years. A year is too long a time frame to be able to set goals for a while. And it's become a very difficult balance between short-term orientation and long-term thinking. So I'm very curious about, Ananya, how for your team you're thinking about goal setting for the year that comes ahead, but also when you have these personal goals that you have in life, then how do you build that and then find synergy with what you do with an organization?
Yeah, I think it's a really, really good time to talk about this because we're literally entering December. You know, before talking about goal setting, let me talk about something that is the seed of any kind of goal setting. And that is also something very close to my heart. We call it different things in different cultures. We call it ikigai in Japan, dharma in India, and universally now very well known as purpose. And it's basically the reason for your being and why you do something. So in other words, I think before goal setting comes discovering your purpose, your true north, the magic that makes you tick, the reason that, you know, gets you out of bed every morning. So I don't think any kind of goal setting at an individual level or at an organizational level can happen without enough time invested in reflecting upon either the individual purpose or the organizational purpose. So I really feel very strongly about this. And actually, at Unilever Sri Lanka this year, we took every single employee through a Discover Your Purpose workshop, and now 100% of about 1,000 employees have been to such a workshop and have, you know, encapsulated their purpose in a single sentence, including each employee in the factory. And that gives me so much joy, because then goal setting is not about just the business and the revenue and, you know, doing things faster or more efficiently. It is linked to, the superpower of each individual and what they want to accomplish. So really, I really cannot emphasize this more. I think before anybody sets any goals, even if it's a personal goal related to health or a habit, I think it has to start with purpose. And this is what will prevent the, you know, the trend of languishing that we're seeing around the world, and really help the world be more motivated as planet Earth if we do goal setting with that mindset. And maybe we'll talk about my purpose journey on some other day.
But you have to, like, so, yeah. in one line, what, before we move, what's your true north?
So, I think, like Simon Sinek says, it's your why, right? And it can change. So it's not the what or the how, but it's the why. So the way I've put together my purpose statement is as follows. It's to maximize lives through truth-seeking journeys. And that's why actually my Insta blog is called Truth-Seeking Journeys. I really, really believe that each of us is meant to grow and evolve to our fullest. And we can only do that by coming face to face with a adventurous truth or a realization that takes us to the next version of ourselves. So it's a conversation for another day, but thanks for asking.
Absolutely. Okay, now back to goal setting.
So I think, yeah, step one, I think discovering and reflecting on your purpose. And there are some simple tools. I think before any team does goal setting, I think some simple tools to first root it in purpose is, you know, storytelling amongst each other. So there are some simple stories that one could, a group could tell each other, which is, a favorite childhood a crucible moment that has defined you, and something that really sparks your interest. And, you know, when you tell these 2-3 stories, you begin to see patterns emerge, and that really enables you to craft that big why or purpose statement that we spoke about earlier. You could also do journaling, self-reflection, and that also uncovers a lot of the themes that eventually lead you to your, get you closer to, you know, your purpose statement. So I think that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I want to speak about is agility. So, you know, you were absolutely right in saying that setting 12-month long, you know, horizon goals makes no sense in today's fast-changing world. And at Unilever, in fact, not just in my team, but across the organization, we've launched something called flexible goal setting, in which we have quarterly checkpoints. So I could set a goal for the whole year if I expected to, you know, finish after 12 months. But I also set some goals only for Q1 or Q2 or, you know, depending on what I plan to accomplish when, and also how, you know, the context shifts. So every quarter, at the end of every quarter, every person is supposed to meet their line manager and discuss whether their goals are still relevant. And having these flexible and dynamic goals really helps meet the needs of this evolving business environment, consumers, competition. And I think being flexible and adaptable is not about changing your mind about your goals. It is about allowing yourself to adapt to the external environment to accomplish your goals. So it's really about adjustment than about changing your mind. So I think that's the second message on goal setting, is around agility. I think lots of us, agile is also another buzzword, especially in the HR community, where lots of us, are trying to train ourselves or our teams in how to have agile ways of working with stand-ups and scrums and Kanbans. And I really think that is a far more speedy and intelligent way of goal setting in today's world than the archaic 12-month long goal setting process that we have. So that's the second thing I want to say. And I think the third reflection I have on goal setting is around honest conversations, because this whole concept of flexible goal setting doesn't really work if we don't root it in honest conversations. And this need not just be in the professional setting. I mean, I even have biannual feedback sessions with Aaron, my husband, and many of us have birthday resolutions. So it's really about taking a moment with your team, with your line manager, with your direct report, to really talk about what's been the developmental journey, what's been the progress against the goal, and how we see it evolving. So this is something that really excites me, because one can never achieve something without feedback. And feedback need not just be upwards, but to peers, direct reports, or line managers. So I think that's the third reflection I had on goal setting. And last but not the least, I recently just finished reading the book Atomic Habits. It's something that really lights me up, because have you read it?
I was looking for it. I have my book somewhere here, but I loved it.
It's really fantastic, because it gives a very simple framework, right, for building those habits. And I truly believe that what you do every single day matters much more than this lofty goal that you set for yourself. I feel like if you want to be a healthy person, it's not about the weight loss target. It's about what you do every single day. So, and similarly in the organizational environment, yes, you have a goal for revenue or, level of engagement or, and that is far out, but it's really about breaking it down into the tiniest possible piece and then, building it into a daily habit. So, he gives us the framework of making it obvious, making it attractive, making it easy. And I think the fourth one is making it satisfying. And once you do those four, once you follow that framework to build a daily habit linked to your goal, I think there is no way that you won't meet it. So I've taken a big resolution to strengthen my morning routine, because I feel like it's really, I'm actually an introvert, and I need my quiet time in the morning to center myself. And the days that I don't get it, I'm kind of all over the place. So I think this book has really helped me codify how I will enrich my morning routine with, movement, meditation, mantra, mindset. I can talk a whole podcast about that. But so I think that's the last message I have on goal setting, is that it's about breaking it down into daily habits and daily behaviors rather than, waiting for 3, 4, 6, 10 months down the line to have a conversation.
I love that, Ananya. And like, you've literally stolen all my words. I have nothing more to say on this topic. But yeah, I think that was very insightful. I know we're coming at a close to our conversation, but I have learned so much, right? From the nth floor to you referring to Atomic Habits. I'm going to find that book. I don't know where it is, but I'm going to probably go read it again. And I loved having you on the spot. But before I let you go, I have to ask, what's your Christmas wish list? What's the first thing? Like, tell me the first one. Maybe some listener would actually send it across to you.
Well, I hadn't thought about this one. I think it is the perfect couch for our new apartment, because the couch is actually a symbol of self-care in today's busy world, because at the end of the day, you sit on this wonderful couch that gives you comfort, and you do some Netflix and you talk to your spouse. So yeah, we're looking for the perfect couch, and Colombo has some great furniture. So I think that's number one on my wish list.
Perfect. So hopefully, when you do find your perfect couch, we'll find a photograph on it on your Instagram handle, which will be linked in the show notes below. And then we will see if Santa did.
What's
give you
on
one.
Your Christmas wish list, Ankita?
I have such a long wish list, Ananya. It's become a joke in this house, because I have been buying stuff since the start of November and saying, that's my Christmas gift to myself. That's my Christmas gift to myself. And they're like, is there anything left for anyone else to buy you, given that you stuffed the Christmas tree under the Christmas tree with your own gifts? But I think I would really, really like one of those teddy coats. Like, it's become so cold here. So I like, and none of my coats seem to fit purpose. And I'm like, I need like one of the warmest coats, maybe even with the thermal heating inside. So yeah, that's probably what my Christmas wish list is. Unfortunately, they don't look very good. So I have to like find the perfect balance of that. With that, Ananya, any last closing words before I let you go?
Well, I think I'm going to reinforce what I said in the end. I really believe in tune with my purpose of maximizing lives through truth-seeking journeys. I really believe that each of us has a unique superpower. I think it's my passion to spend every morning reflecting at least for a few minutes about my purpose and whether I'm living it. And I think I would offer this nudge to anyone listening to take a few moments every single day to contemplate the fact that life is short, and am I really living my purpose, and am I really living my superpower?
Those are the best words I can think of for closing the year on this pod. And with that, I hope you get your perfect couch and everything else that's on your wish list. And for all our listeners, Merry Christmas. I'll see you in the new year. And on behalf of NHRDN, Ananya and I, we are out.
You're tuned in to the HR Bandit podcast, your one-way ticket to the latest and craziest in the world of work. In partnership with Timber Media, Podcaster for India Inc. is sponsored by Adrenaline eSystems Limited.